Let's turn our Bibles to Luke 10, and then we agree in prayers. No, actually, the prayer sets the ball rolling in my heart, so I can't forget it. Luke 10, and we'll read from verse 17. Luke 10, 17, and then we agree in prayers. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we lend our spirits to the spirit of a living God within us, that out through the vessel of our being, you pour forth your wisdom with mighty clarity. Father, we thank you for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of that spirit that you've so richly given to us in redemption. Our hearts are full of praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude. And Father, we thank you because we receive the burden of ignorance dematerialized to your glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Yeah. It looks like we are in a season where we ought to intensify our prayers as a congregation. Yes. Yes, yes. Because I'm not supposed to talk about prayer this morning. But here I am. As I prayed up there, it just bubbled to my heart. Let's pray more, guys. Let's pray more. No. I'm not even talking here. I mean as a congregation. So it means we might need to rearrange our meetings to have more time for prayer. It's going to be for maybe like a month or two. We're just going to rearrange our meetings. So maybe all our meetings will do 1 hour prayer. 1 hour prayer, all our meetings. Is that okay? So the person who needs to hear has heard. What will happen to teaching time? It will remain the same. But we'll find our way around it. We'll find our way around it. We just, let's pray more. Let's pray more. You know, ministry is sweet when we are full of prayers. When we are full of prayer, we live in the supernatural. We see supernatural. I remember coming out of a 24-hour prayer meeting one of those days back some years ago. So as I stood on the platform to preach, that's why I don't like protocols. The guy that was supposed to stand so that they won't attack pastor, the power of God hit him. He fell down and got injured. Yes, they had to carry him out of church. I shared that to say that when we pray, when we are given to prayers, we see awesome manifestations of the supernatural in our midst. Is it the prayer that brings the supernatural? Not necessarily. Not really. The supernatural is in our midst when we gather because Christ is in our midst. God's Spirit is in our midst. But we are able to lay hold. We are able to lay hold, pinpoint accurately what God is doing in our midst. Are you with me? We are able to do that. Glory to God. And we said some of these things on Wednesday and on Friday. So Wednesday was supposed to be a Bible study, ended up being a prayer meeting. Friday, prayer meeting. Today is looking like it will end up a prayer meeting, but we'll seize it. So we, as it is now, we have 2 parts ahead of us this morning. We can choose what we want, whether to rejoice or to pray, but we'll rejoice, praise God. we'll rejoice, praise God. But anyway, let's put that in mind. We ought to pray more. We ought to pray more. And not only in church, as an individual, pray some more. Add 1 more hour of prayer to whatever time you pray for Grace Place Lagos. Add 1 more hour to whatever time you already set praying. Let's just pray. Let's generate some power in prayers. Let's generate some power. There are things I said on Wednesday that I can't say, on Friday that I can't say again, but let's pray. Praise God. Luke 10 and verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, Even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We explained that last week, that the Satan as lightning falling from heaven. What is the heaven? Man's heart. That is, heaven is where the rule is, and earth is where the rule is implemented or felt. So when Satan falls from heaven, it means that Satan, that which controls men's heart, or the opposition to the word that has been exalted in the hearts of men, came down. That's Satan falling from heaven. And it makes sense because they just returned from preaching. So Jesus said in verse 20, he now said, don't rejoice in this, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So again, we see the use of heaven again. Names written in heaven means, yeah, before now, heaven is the heart of men, right? And the Satan fall from heaven is the Satan. Are you guys talking about me? Okay. Please, can you? I can't hear myself. Can you hear me? Okay, leave it. Okay, so remember we said Satan fell like a lightning from heaven. And now Jesus is saying your names are written in heaven. What is the name written in heaven? It is still God. So let me explain it in a nutshell. We'll explain it when we are back to our salvation series. We've not thrown that series away. I'm just giving you time to breathe. I'm giving you time to breathe. The names written in heaven is God writing his new covenant in our hearts. Are you with me? Praise. Okay, because of praise, let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading from verse 22. It says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. If you have followed, so if you bring in what we taught in salvation, you know that what the writer of Hebrews is talking about is salvation up until Hebrews 12. So when he says we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, he's saying the heavenly Jerusalem as opposed to the earthly Jerusalem. So the heavenly Jerusalem is the city that God built, right? Remember, if you were at Bible seminar, we talked about God's city, right? So he says we have come to the city of the living God. So that is the work of God, salvation. He now says the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, it says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So that writing in heaven is a description of the work of God. The work of God. And that writing is salvation, really. And where did salvation happen? Where did redemption, forgiveness of sin, where did it happen? In our hearts. In our hearts. Praise God. So back to Luke 10. You know, as a teacher of the word, when you are before people, don't rush. Give evidence. Praise God. That's why we study hard. You give evidence. So if you want to say something from the scriptures, you look for like four or five places in your heart where you can establish it. Praise God. Because really, we as a student and a teacher of the word, you risk saying, if you are not careful, you can read a portion of scripture. So for example, IBK and I were discussing Hebrews 11 verse 1. And we're watching a minister and he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he was saying that, you know, faith is how you actualize, you know, all this teaching of faith is how you actualize the thing that you... And I said, well, the truth is, if you read Hebrews 11 that way, you are likely... Okay, funny enough, the emphasis of that teaching was on evidence, that faith is the evidence, you know? And I'm like, if you read Hebrews 11, you are likely to, you might come to that conclusion. Your saving grace is what you heard or read in Hebrews 11. Do you have any other place in scripture to back it up? So before you say emphatically that this is what this guy is saying, is any other portion of scripture saying it? And does the overall tone of scripture also say the same? So if you are unable to establish that, then don't go ahead. So it means that before you say something, say something and establish it as a doctrine, as what people should understand, it means that you have found it all over scripture. You can establish what you are saying from more than that one place that you are reading. Does that make sense to you? Anyway, Luke 10. So we are in verse 20. It says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So why do we rejoice? We rejoice because of the work of God in our hearts. We rejoice because of the work of God in the hearts of men. We rejoice because of the triumph of God's word in the hearts of men. So our joy is from an eternal perspective. Our joy is not in happenings around us. Our joy is on that which God has done. Look at what it says. Verse 21. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. So the disciples came, okay, and they were rejoicing because demons were subject to them. And Jesus said, don't rejoice about that. Is it not interesting? Jesus is phenomenal. Somebody goes out, heals the sick, okay? And then the guy is saying, oh, glory to God, the sick is healed. And he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, don't rejoice about that. Because that's the implication of what is going on here. He says, the devils were subject to us in your name. And Jesus says, don't rejoice about that. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then after he corrected them in teaching, what did he do? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. What hour? The selfsame hour where he corrected the disciples. And what did he do? He rejoiced. The word rejoice is agaleo. It's not really about the Greek. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. What does it mean? So, the word agaleo is from two words. One means again and again, and the other one means to jump, to leap, to spring up. You know, when a spring gushes forth, yeah, to erupt. So, to agaleo means to erupt again and again. And our very own Jesus rejoiced. So, rejoicing is not a... You know, when people see people rejoicing, say, they are youths. Don't worry. When they grow older and they have cracks in their bones, they will reduce it. No, not at all. Rejoicing is a Bible thing. It is a Jesus thing. It is a believer thing. We will never not rejoice. So in that hour, Jesus erupted. Jesus sprang up again and again. He leaped for joy. Why? Because our names are written in heaven. Hold your hand there and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Let us, you know, as much as we want to practice rejoicing, I also want to show us what exactly does the Bible teach about rejoicing. Acts chapter 2. Glory to God. I'm going to start from verse 23. Acts 2, 23. Thank you. It says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. We are back to foreknowledge. So here, what did God know ahead of time? He knew that he was going to deliver himself to men. Okay? In being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked ends have crucified and slain. But what happened? Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. So men killed God, okay, or God in man, which is Christ. And the Bible said that the pains of death held him bound. You know, what people call hell is actually what is describing here as the pains of death. See, that a man will die and will not rise again and will be lost forever is what the Bible describes as hell. Okay? It calls it here the pains of death. Praise is looking at me. Praise will be like, this is my pastor, shall I like saying things. If me and you are in a class, I'll just drown you with evidence. It says, because what? It was not possible that he should be holding of it. So it means that the person that God does not raise from the dead will be held down by the pains of death. Are you with me? Will be held down by the pains of death. Look at what it says in verse 25. It says, for David speaketh concerning him. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I shall not be moved. Now let's think through what we just read. When he says he is on my right hand that I shall not be moved, what is the I shall not be moved? From what we've read so far. The I shall not be moved is what? That he will raise him up. I shall not be moved means that the pain of death will not hold me down. Are you with me? That is the I shall not be moved. So when he says, why will I not be moved? Everybody, why will I not be moved? Because what? The Lord is always before my face. So the presence of the Lord always before my face, which he also describes as he is on my right hand, is why I will not be moved. So the Lord on my right hand is why, did I jump? No. The Lord on my right hand, okay, which means he is always before my face, is why I will not be moved. What is he saying? This thing is not even difficult. Peter is doing what I like to do. Peter has said something and now he's giving evidence. He said that men killed him, God raised him from the dead. He now says that is why David said this. So what Peter is describing from the writing of David is what he already talked about. That is, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved because what? The Lord is on my right hand. Resurrection from death. So because the Lord will raise him from the dead, he is not afraid. The pains of death cannot hold him. Look at what it now says. Therefore did my heart rejoice. Look at that. So what is the origin of joy? The resurrection, the right hand. The fact that I will not be moved. So where do I find my joy? In the fact that the Lord is on my right hand. Are you with me? It says, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Interestingly, that word glad is agalio. My tongue was glad. My tongue leaped. Hallelujah. My tongue was glad. My tongue leaped. Why did my tongue leap?
Because the Lord is on my right hand. Are you with me? Why did my tongue leap? Because the Lord is always before my face. It says in verse 27, because thou will not leave my soul in hell. So he says, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. So even though I go into death, I go into death with hope. What is the hope? It says, thou will not leave my soul in hell. So you see hell, praise. Are you seeing hell described now? Hell is when the pain of death holds a man down. So he says, so it means that if Jesus died and did not rise up from the dead, he would have gone to hell. So the fact that a man can go into death and perish forever is what the Bible describes as hell. So he said, Pastor, what of the fire? Pastor, are you saying that the person that killed 1,000 people, 1 million people, his punishment is... So you are saying that his punishment is that he will just die and there's no fire, there's no beating, there's no... It says, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. So what is hell? When a man sees corruption. But what does God do? He brings forth his right hand. Oh my God. By his right hand, he reverses corruption. By his right hand, he reverses corruption. So corruption is coming this way. And you know, like a traffic warden, he just says, hold it right there. So what is that corruption? Or how does God reverse corruption? By the resurrection from the dead. And look at what it says there. He now describes that. He says, thou, you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the way of life. So what does it mean when a man knows the way of life? He knows the resurrection. He knows that which stops corruption. Are you with me? And what happens as a result of that? You will make me full of joy with your countenance. What is the countenance? The resurrection from the dead. I hope you have not. Are you here or have you gone home? You are here. Look at what it says in verse 25. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. It is that foreseeing the Lord before my face that it describes here as you will make me full of joy with your countenance. So where does the fullness of joy come from? The countenance of God, his right hand, the resurrection from the dead, his destruction of corruption. Look at, if you hold your hand there, verse 25, it says, for David speaketh concerning him. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16, I'll start from verse 8. Psalms 16, verse 8. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is on my right hand, I shall not be moved. The same thing that Peter was saying. He then says, therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Why? For you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. He says, you will show me the path of life, which Peter describes as the resurrection from the dead. The path of life. Peter says, you will make me know the path of life. That is resurrection from the dead. How God stops corruption. How God puts an end to corruption. He then says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So when he says, in your presence is fullness of joy, does that mean when we got, because when we're in teens church, they'll say, when they want to wind us up, they'll say, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So be happy. Teenagers are the interesting set of, even me, I'm not proud of what we did in teens church. Because we just come to church. We just dragged to church. So our teachers had to read Psalm 16. But Psalm 16 is not saying when we gather, we should rejoice. When it says, in your presence is fullness of joy, what is that presence? His right hand. That is, because how did Peter say he will raise him from the dead? His countenance. That's what David now calls in your presence. So in your presence is fullness of joy means in the resurrection of Jesus is where we find joy. So what Jesus said in Luke 10, he did not cook it up. Does that make sense to you? You know, Jesus said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus did not cook that up. The scriptures have taught it. So David will say, it is in his presence, that is in the work of God, in stopping corruption, that we find joy. So he says, in your presence is fullness of joy, that is joy complete. So as you are, let me not run ahead of myself. Psalm 16 verse 11. It says, thou will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, that same right hand with which he raised him from the dead, there are pleasures forevermore. If you hold your hand in that book of Psalms and you go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at what it says. Ephesians 2, look at what it says in verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. That is, he has raised us up together with Christ. So, it means that the right hand from which corruption was stopped and joy was bettered is not for Jesus only. I hope you know that Jesus rejoiced. Jesus actually rejoiced in the resurrection. Jesus rejoiced because our names are written. And he now says, the same power of the resurrection that raised him, raised us also. So it means that in our raising, what do we have? We have joy. We have joy. Look at what it says. It says in verse 5, when we were dead in sin, he has quickened. The word quickened means he has brought us back to life. He has given life. So he says, he has quickened us together with Christ. Verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, it means therefore that what is happening in our hearts today? Our heart is full of joy. Are you with me? Our hearts are full of joy. Or our heart is full of joy. Where did that joy come from? The right hand of God. The right hand of God is the origin of joy. So you must know where your joy, if your joy originates from your bank account, one day it will disappear. If your joy originates from rates of this, rates of that, one day it will disappear. If your joy originates from
Let me give an example. If you bought iPhone 10 in 20, when did you release iPhone 10? Like maybe 7 or 8 years ago. You were the king, you are a king in town. Now there's 15. Soon, 16 will come out. If your joy is in those things, once a new one comes out, your joy just goes with the old. Our joy, the source of our joy, is in the resurrection. And it says, he has filled us with the fullness of joy. So in your heart right now is fullness of joy. Our feelings may vary. Some of us may feel like it. Some of us may not. So somebody say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I don't know what you've been through, but I know who you are. I know who you are. He says that in the resurrection, your heart is full of joy. Your heart is full of joy. Are you with me? Go back to Psalms chapter 16. Says, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. So my heart finds gladness in the fact that I will not be moved. You know, last week, I said something. I said, some people teach joy and they say there is joy and there is happiness. So, joy is spiritual, happiness is physical. And, you know, even though you have joy, you will not always be happy. See, let joy always make you happy. It says, my heart is glad. Because what? You will not leave my soul in hell. Look at what David said in Psalms 51. Psalms chapter 51. And I'm going to read verse 8. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. So last week we explained the bones broken. David said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Where is he asking for joy? Where will he hear, or how will he hear joy and gladness? Look at what it says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Are you with me? So where will David hear joy and gladness? In the loving kindness of God. In the tender mercies of God, the forgiveness of sins. So when David hears of the forgiveness of sins, what will happen? His heart will receive, be filled with joy and gladness. So joy and gladness is what we have and what we hear. So if I wanted to get myself into rejoicing right now, what do I need to hear? Joy and gladness. Are you with me? Joy and gladness. So it means I don't. So when it comes to joy and rejoicing, does the Spirit need to move me? No. The Spirit does not need to move me to rejoice. What do I need to do? I need to hear joy and gladness. So it means that my demonstration, expression of joy is my responsibility. Is my responsibility. So if I wanted to get into joy, what does it mean? It means that I will need to talk joy and gladness to myself a whole lot.
Are you with me? I will need to talk joy and gladness to myself a whole lot. I will need to remind myself a whole lot that my sins are forgiven. I'll need to remind myself a lot of times that I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'll need to remind myself, talk myself into that. Because my mind all by itself will not want to take that seriously. I need to train my mind to take that seriously and see it as a reason to be glad. Think about it this way. If God puts joy in our hearts, and when we express joy or when we demonstrate joy, we are happy, we laugh, we rejoice. Now imagine that that same God that puts joy in your heart now expects you not to be happy all the time or to be happy based on circumstance. Then why did he give you joy? Joy is given so that it can affect your happiness, your mood, your psyche, your psychology. Are you with me? Because if God gives us joy and that joy has nothing to do with our happiness, then where are we going to find happiness? If God gives us joy and that joy has nothing to do with our happiness, it means that where will we find happiness? In the world, man's methods. Are you with me? God's method of making us happy is joy. Are you with me? That's his method of making us happy. That's his method of making our hearts glad. We cannot cast that aside and then look at men's method to make ourselves, because that one fluctuates. It does. So David said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Hold your hand there and let's see Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, look at what it says in verse 1. It says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfort me. Praise is saying good. Let me see how you will explain that angry with me. I will explain it. Look at what it says. It says, though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away. So it talks about God's anger, and then it talks about God's anger turned away, and what happened that as a result of that, you comfort me. So what is God's anger turned away? The comfort which he comforts me. So what is God's anger available when I don't have comfort? So what is the anger of God? When man rejects the comfort of God, or man without the comfort of God is the anger of God. And what is the anger of God turned away? Man with God's comfort. Are you with me? So, for example, in Psalms, it will say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. It's really talking about the anger of God is the man that has rejected the comfort, salvation that God provides. In fact, look at it. He says it anyway. Verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. So what is the comfort with which God comforts me? Salvation. Salvation. So what is the anger of God when there is a lack of salvation in a man? So it doesn't mean that God is angry. It just means man has not accepted the comfort, the salvation that God provides. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my what? My strength and my song. He is also my salvation. So God, my salvation, is what? God, my strength. And is what? God, my song. So, where does my song come from? My songs come from salvation. My songs come from the fact that what? God has turned away his anger and he has comforted me. Look at what it says. It says, he is also become my salvation. Same thing he already said. So, why do I sing and rejoice? Because God is my salvation. This is all true scriptures. The scripture is very emphatic. Very, very, very emphatic on why we rejoice. Very, very, very emphatic. Absolute. The scripture doesn't teach two things about joy. The scripture is very absolute on why a believer should rejoice. We rejoice because God is our salvation. Look at what it says. It says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of what? The wells of salvation. Hold your hand there and let's go to John 4. In John 4, look at what it says when it was speaking. So John 4 is the story of Jesus in Samaria, speaking with the Samaritan woman. And Jesus says something in verse 14. He says, verse 13, let me read from. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Why? But the water that I shall give him shall be in him what? A well of water, springing up into eternal life. So, what is salvation? What is the water? It says it becomes a well, which is really springing up into eternal life. So the well of water in the believer is what? Eternal life. Hold your hand there, and really what it's describing is the Spirit. Let's see John 7, just 3 chapters after. In John 7, I'm in a rush. Have you noticed I'm in a rush? Should I slow down? they said I should slow down. I'm a man under authority. John 7, verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and do what? And drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In Christ, it is rivers. In the believer, it is a well of water. Pay attention. The Bible never teaches that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The Bible never. You are not Jesus. Because if rivers of living water flows out of your belly, it means you are our Savior. Are you with me? It means you are our Savior. It means you are the one who died and rose. It means you are the one giving the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? It means you are the one giving the Spirit. Rivers of living water don't flow from your belly. It flows from Christ. Jesus is talking about himself here. Lord is saying, the things that talk about Christ, don't they talk about us? Yes, they do talk about us, but not in the sense that we are the savior of men. You are not the one who died, and you can't be the one who died. That's already gone. So rivers of living water flowing out of your belly or out of the belly is the belly of Jesus. He's just describing the fact that Jesus is the one that will give the Spirit. What does it say about you? It says in you, the water that he will give you will become in you what? A well of water springing into eternal life. Go back to, so now we can read Isaiah 12. In Isaiah 12, it says, therefore with joy, you will do what? You will draw water out of the wells of salvation. So what is the wells of salvation? The eternal life, what he called springing up into eternal life. So the wells of salvation springing up into eternal life. So how will you draw from the wells of salvation, or how will you lay hold on eternal life within you? Joy. So God has designed it in such a way that the believer ought to always live in joy, because it is with joy that we draw water out of the wells of salvation. It is with joy that we lay hold on that which is within us by Spirit. So God has designed it for the believer to be ever joyful. Are you with me? So if I wanted to maximize the Spirit within, if I wanted to maximize the salvation that I have, if I wanted to maximize the well of water living in me, how do I do that? It says with joy. You draw water. So, what does it mean? It means the believer must constantly live a life of joy. So, God did not design that you will have joy inside you, but you'll be looking for happiness from things outside you. No, God wants you to be trained in such a way that you live in happiness from the joy that is always within you. I don't know why I keep repeating this happiness. Don't find happiness in things around you. He has already put his joy within you. You should be able to sit all by yourself and laugh yourself into the things of God. Hallelujah. You should be able to be all by yourself and just run around and say, glory! So say, Pastor, what if I do it and it doesn't move anything within me? Do it until it moves something within you. I told you about Smith Wigglesworth last week. He says, if the Spirit doesn't move me, I move the Spirit. Yes, now, he has given us the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit is now our responsibility. Hallelujah. So right now we can pause the teaching and rejoice. Yeah. We can pause the teaching and rejoice. We can just do. God. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory! Glory to God. Woo! Woo! If you can, have your seat. Where were we? Isaiah. When Isaiah 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Glory. Glory to God. 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 If you are listening to me this morning and you are not laughing, it is because you chose not to laugh. But you can share in what we have. Because what we have is what you're after. What we have together. Glory. Glory. This is the time to spring up again and again. Again and again. Glory. 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 Have your seat if you can. Oh. When you search all over, you eventually come to find that there's no greater cause of joy, rejoicing, and happiness than the resurrection of Christ. Than the resurrection of Christ. Christ is why we give thanks. We just laugh ourselves. We laugh on steroids like that. Like that. That guy told you about Smith Wigglesworth. He said, I don't just wake up from my bed and stand up. He said, I jump out of bed. You know that stuff that we say, light of the world, don't wake up. See, when light of the world wake up, jump out of bed. Say glory. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. You know, I have some people in my life that they like to, when you say something funny and they laugh, they like to constrain it because they laugh very loud. But when we are gathered together like this, no, there's no reason to be too shy. This is what will make me laugh. And I will laugh without restraint. Christ is why we give thanks. Oh. So you say, Pastor, how do I laugh? Let me teach you. Start with saying, ha, ha, ha. Everybody, let's say together, ha, ha, ha. And then you laugh. Woo. 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 You know, it's a good place to act on what's the things that are on your heart. It's a good place to act on the things that are on your heart. There are people that should be running already. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, as I prayed this morning, I wrote some words down. Let me read it for you. I said, we are a supernatural company. So I found out that over the last 3 weeks, I've been saying that again and again. We are a supernatural company. We run through a troop. We leap over walls. Hand in hand with our Father, God and man, man and God, hand in hand, by Spirit, we cover the ground of men's hearts. We are unstoppable. We are immovable. We run in the power of the Spirit. Yeah, that is us. That is us. That is us. We rejoice at the triumph of the Word. We rejoice that the Word is gaining ground in men's hearts. We rejoice that the Word is gaining ground in men's hearts. Yeah, you know, the way we run, we are demonstrating how fast the Word will begin to penetrate the hearts of men now. How fast, how swift God's word will take over this city. Yes. Yes. If Luke was in this service this morning, he would say, yeah, those guys are rejoicing for the right thing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It says, with joy. With joy. Next week, we are going to see this from Paul's teaching. Paul will say, make your request with joy. Yes. That guy, He says, you make your request with joy. Why? Because he knows that it is with joy. So the guy that is saying make your request with joy knows that it is with joy that we draw out of the wells of salvation. Have you read Ephesians 3:20? Where it says that, what did he say in Ephesians 3:20? Now to him that is able to, according to what? Power that works in us. So when the guy said make your request with joy, he knows what he's saying. With joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. You are a joyful spirit. Yes. You are a singing spirit. You are a rejoicing spirit. You are a rejoicing spirit. Glory! 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 Five years from now, we'll still be doing this. When Bro Godwin goes to Canada and does 20 years in Canada and comes to visit, he will see us doing this. When we are with our children, we'll be doing this. And then when our backs are bent and we are walking, like, we'll still be glory, glory, glory. Yes. That is who we are. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have a seat if you can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. It says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Why is he saying therefore? Because therefore is as a result of what I said. What did he say before? God, my salvation. Verse 2. God is my salvation. So how will I draw out of the wells of salvation, which is eternal life? It says with joy. With joy. With joy. Hold your hand there. Let's see Isaiah 51. There are so many places to see. In fact, before you... Okay, let's see Isaiah 51. Glory to God. Isaiah 51. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Isaiah 51, everybody. Isaiah 51, verse 11. It says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Return from where? Redeemed from what? You already know. Redeemed from death. And then we will return in the resurrection, right? And what will happen? They will come with singing unto Zion. And what? Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Do you know what is upon your head this morning? Everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. Joy that cannot be taken from you. Joy that knows no bounds. Everlasting joy. It says everlasting joy shall be upon. You know the way we say prophecy is hanging on your head. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And what will happen? They will obtain gladness and what? And joy. So it gives you joy by spirit. And what will you do with that joy? You will obtain gladness and joy. Are you with me? How will you obtain gladness and joy if you followed us so far? You hear the sound of joy. David was saying in Psalms, he says, bless that day that know the joyful sound. They would dwell, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. He says, they will obtain gladness and joy, and what will happen? And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. There's no room for sorrow in the believer. Never. 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 No room for sorrow in the believer. No room for... Even if things are turning upside down, topsy-turvy, like Paul Seku would say, topsy-turvy around you, your joy is not from the things around you. Next week, we're going to see a scripture that Jesus said, when men persecute you and revile you for my name's sake, he said, rejoice and be glad. So in the midst of persecution, in the midst of tribulation, we still rejoice because we don't find our joy in things around. We find our joy in his name, in his accomplishment. The Bible is emphatic on why we rejoice. That is why you will never not come to church and not rejoice. Even if you've had a bad day, you say, we'll say sorry for the day you had, but can you please unleash who you are? When we gather together, it should be a time to unleash. Unleash who we are in all ramifications. When it's time to pray, we pray. When it's time to sing, we sing. For example, we'll say we are singing. We give thanks to God for all he's done in Christ. So we will sing and rejoice, and we are looking like this. No. If rejoicing is mentioned in our songs, we go wild. Are you with me? Rejoicing doesn't even have to be mentioned. Next week, we'll also see, when you hear about salvation, you rejoice. You are hearing God's word, and we are talking about salvation, what God has done. You say, Pastor, pause. And then we pause, and we rejoice. We rejoice. That is who we are. The reason why we've not practiced it is because we've not taught it. Now that we are teaching it, that's what we expect in our meetings. We are joyful people. Hallelujah. That when we are teaching about salvation, you just say, Pastor, wait. I'll wait. I'm easy to be entreated. I'll wait. And then you say, Pastor, let's laugh. And we'll laugh. You know, when we come to church, the same way we say, Bro Godwin, lead us in prayer. Bro Tolu, lead us in prayer. IBK, lead us in prayer. We can give them mic and say, lead us in laughing. It's not a strange thing. It's not a strange thing. It's what we have in the spirit. Are you with me? Are you with me? We erupt with joy. In Greek is agalio. In Hebrew, it even gets better. Go to Zephaniah. Let's do this one. I know my time is up, but let's see Zephaniah. And so that sister with me will not say, Pastor, we didn't use concordance today. So let's see Zephaniah 3. Zephaniah is the fourth to the end of Genesis to Malachi. Zephaniah 3. Glory to God. I can't find it. Okay. Thank God for tech. Zephaniah 3, are you there? Not Zechariah, Zephaniah. Praise God. Look at what it says in verse 17. It says, the Lord thy God is in the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. What is his might? He will save. And then, as a result, what will he do? He will rejoice over you with singing. So if you have the question, does God rejoice? Yes, he does. We see when God became a man, he rejoiced. So God, he said he will rejoice over you with joy. If you have a concordance, please let us find out. In fact, because of time, I'll just read what I have here. The Hebrew word for rejoice, so if you are using strong will say to be cheerful, be glad, greatly joy, rejoice. But look at this. This is ancient Hebrew lexicon. It says, this word is from the word moth. You know that bird that flies. It says, from its turning and twisting flight. Turning and twisting flight. Look at this. It says, to turn around with joy as a dancing around in circles. So actually, the Hebrew word for rejoice means in circles, to twist and turn. So when it says God rejoices over us with singing, he's saying that God in salvation is doing like this over us. Are you with me? Are you with me? That is the kind of people that we are. Praise God. We are the kind of people that in the midst of proper chaos, we are full of joy. We are full of joy. Yes. Nothing gets here. Nothing from here gets here. Never. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Glory to God. Let's be on our feet and let us rejoice again. Let's say together, glory to God. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Glory! Hallelujah. Have you been blessed today? Praise God.